God. Last week we said Jesus reminded us that the kingdom of God is at hand. That heaven isn't something we need to wait for. That heaven is here. And in some ways we can live right into the fullness of God's good grace right here in our very midst. Today we take a look at another one of Jesus' kingdom stories, and I invite you to follow along with me on the screen as we hear God's word for us this morning from Matthew's 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. It reads, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in a bundle to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Weeds. What are we going to do about the weeds? You know, I had no idea that weeds would dominate so much of my ministry here in the first few months. Weeds. What are we going to do about the weeds? It was that garden, that incredible garden we have. You know, the one right out back of the church. I love that garden. It is one of the true gems of our church. And sometimes in the middle of an especially busy day, you can find me out in that garden for a moment, soaking in all of God's beauty. But here's the thing. Every time I was out there, I found myself picking a weed. It was just a few at first, but every time I picked just a few, I'd find some more to pick. And after I picked a weed just the day or two before, I'd come back and there would be more weeds in the exact same spot I just picked them from, sometimes more plentiful than the first time I picked them. I mean, just ask Theo or Barb Blue or Dan Freed or Daryl and Rebecca or anyone else who picks weeds around this place. Sometimes it feels like the weeds are winning. And I realize that I could become so obsessed with picking weeds that eventually my joy of being in the garden could simply get lost. Weeds. What are we going to do about the weeds? Maybe that's the question Jesus is asking us today. In fact, he says, if you want to understand something about my kingdom, then you got to know what to do with the weeds. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a farmer who planted a bunch of seed. Good seed, wheat seed. But something happened in the middle of the night while everybody was sleeping. Someone came along and tossed a bunch of bad seed in with all of the good seed. And guess what happened? That's right. They had weeds growing right there alongside the wheat. And of course, this is a concern to the workers of the field. The weeds could ruin the wheat. They could overtake the wheat, wipe out all the wheat forever right there. He wanted to know, what are we going to do about the weeds? But check out what the master gardener says. He says, don't touch them. Don't touch the weeds. In fact, he says, why don't you just keep your hands off of them? I tell you what, the master gardener says, you want to know what to do with the weeds? Just leave the weeds to me. I'll take care of the weeds. I guess Jesus could say that now about the weeds, couldn't he? Because Jesus was always hanging around the weeds, spending his time with people who, like weeds, the world saw no use for. at best found annoying, considered a nuisance, the kind of people that the world often feels like should just be pulled up and discarded. In fact, if you read the scripture, that's the number one thing that bugged people about Jesus. It wasn't that he was too liberal. It wasn't that he was too conservative. It wasn't that he was too political or not political enough. No, the number one charge against Jesus is that he hangs out with sinners and he eats with them. Jesus spends his time among the weeds. And it wasn't that he just hung out with the weeds, was it? No, he had the gall to invite them to church. I mean, it happened just in the chapter, just before he tells that parable, right there in the 12th chapter of Matthew. And so maybe that's why he tells that parable about the weeds in the first place, to help us understand what had just happened. If we were to read the 12th chapter, you'd see this story. Going from that place, Jesus went into their synagogue. And remember, the synagogue is the church. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man or a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. What about the weeds? See, Jesus shows up at church with this man who has this withered hand. And it was not enough that he has this man with him, this weed of a man. He actually has the nerve to disrupt the nice, well-behaved worship service by calling this man forward, where he lays his hand on him and heals him right there between the offering and the anthem. A healing took place. But notice the congregation that is gathered. Not a single person applauds. Not a single amen is muttered. Not a single person in the congregation stands up and says, "Hallelujah! Praise Jesus! Do it! Do it again!" Not a single person. Instead, the scripture says that's when they decided it was time to get rid of Jesus. Remember that in Jesus' day, most synagogues had a weed section. A space partitioned off by a metal rail where the outcasts, the widows, the orphans, the sick, the lepers, the people with the withered hands were supposed to sit. To enter into this area, you would have to go through a small, narrow gate. And I wonder if that's the gate Jesus says is the narrow gate that it takes to get into the kingdom. You know, weeds weren't allowed in the main sanctuary because they were considered defiled, unclean, unholy. If they were present in church, wouldn't they defile the church? Wouldn't they defile the churchgoers? Wouldn't they defile the very name of God? So isn't it the job of the church, after all, to keep the weeds separate from the wheat? Did you ever notice Jesus is always struggling with the church people? It's the church people who are always giving Jesus the hardest time. It's the Pharisees, those nice, well-meaning, church-going, Bible-reading folks. They're the ones who are always taking issue with Jesus, the ones who are always giving him a hard time, and they're giving him a hard time because of who he brings to the church. The church has had a long history of struggle around the issue of purity. What are we to do with the weeds? You know, it's like that man who was rescued after many years on the deserted island. As he stood on the deck of the rescuing ship, the captain says to him, "I thought you were stranded on that island alone. How come I see three huts on the beach?" "Well," replied the castaway, "that one there is my house. And that other one there, that's where I go to church. And the third one?" asked the skipper. "Oh, that's my old church. Think about it. It's funny. Did you realize that there's over 38,000 Christian denominations in the world? 38,000 different Christian denominations, many of whom broke off from other denominations as a way to separate themselves from those they believed didn't worship right, didn't believe right, didn't baptize right, didn't commune right or read their Bible right. The Christian church has a long history of trying to separate the weeds from the wheat, believing that each of them had discovered the pure form of religious practice. It's like the guy who arrives at the pearly gates and runs into St. Peter. St. Peter asks, "What's your religion?" The man says, "Baptist." St. Peter looks down on his list and says, "You go to room 24, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. Another person arrives at the gate of heavens. He asks her, "What's your religion?" She says, "Lutheran." "Go to room 18, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. A third person arrives at the gate. This one asks, "What religion?" "Catholic." "You go to room 11, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. This one finally asks, "I can understand there being different rooms for people with different religions, but why must I be quiet when I pass room 8? St. Peter tells him, "Well, the Methodists are in room 8. And they think they're the only ones that are here." You see, that's why that parable gets us, doesn't it? I mean, it taps right into that tendency we all have to believe that the way we do it, the way we experience God, is the only way God is to be experienced. This parable makes us come face to face with that tendency within us to pluck up or weed out those things and those people that mess up our vision of what church should be and how it should look like. I mean, look what happened to Jesus. Because he hung out with those who the world considered weeds, he became the biggest weed of all. As the story said, the religious folks, they began to plot against Jesus to try and weed him out. It's called church rage. It's like road rage. Church rage. South African preacher and prophet Alan Story describes church rage like this. He says it's the person who starts out by loving Christianity more than the truth and continues then by loving their church more than Christianity, only to end up loving themselves more than they love anybody else. And when it comes to church rage, you just end up pulling up more wheat than you do weeds. When it comes to church rage, somebody always gets hurt. That's what Jesus says will happen, right? If we go out pulling up weeds, trying to weed out all the impurity in the church, we'll just end up uprooting some wheat as well. And why is that? Because you can't always tell the difference between the weeds. There's the weeds and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. They look too much alike. The weeds and the wheat. Which one is which? What are we supposed to do with the weeds? Our own Faith Fowler at Cass Community Church, a church nestled in one of the poorest neighborhoods of our city, tells the story about this time she was hanging out at the office and there was this loud bang on the church door and she heard this voice screaming, "Pastor, get out here! Pastor, get out here!" And she opened the door and who did she find? She found Agnes. And everybody in the corridor knows Agnes. Agnes was a fixture in the neighborhood. Agnes was the prostitute who worked the corner just a couple of blocks from the church. And on this day, she stood on the steps of that church holding a teenage girl by the hair. "Pastor, tell her to get off of my corner." Wow, Faith thought to herself. If there was a class in how to mediate a territorial dispute between prostitutes and seminary, I missed that class. But before she could say a word, Agnes spoke again. "Pastor, tell her to get off my corner. She's too young to be doing this." She still has time to get her act together. Get her in your church and help her out. Sometimes you can't tell the weeds from the wheat. And here's the other thing about this parable. If the weeds look a lot like wheat, you know what that means, don't you? It means that sometimes the wheat looks a lot like the weeds. We all know that to be true, don't we? Those of us who are people of faith, we're not perfect. We're not immune to the struggles and the pains of this world. People of faith don't have perfect marriages, don't always have perfect kids, don't always have perfect jobs. Sometimes it's hard to tell if we are the wheat or the weeds. So maybe that's why this vision of the kingdom is so hard for us. One where the wheat and the weeds must live together side by side. And maybe that's why we struggle with those who show up at our front doors of our church wearing their brokenness on their sleeves. Maybe because they make us confront the hurt and the brokenness and the fear and the anger and the sin that has taken up root in our own lives. When we come to church, sometimes we try so hard to hide the weeds that have taken up root in our own life. We try to hide them because we're afraid if anybody ever found them, well, maybe they'd just pluck us right up out of the garden. So what is the kingdom of God like? Jesus said it's like weeds and wheat growing up right alongside each other. Trusting and waiting and hoping and expecting that the day will come when every evil, every vice, every form of wickedness, every injustice, every single vestige of sin will be forever uprooted by the only one who can truly separate the weeds from the wheat. Now somebody's asking the question, and I know you're asking it because it's the right question to ask right now. It's a good preaching, preacher. Oh, but as Ron Klingensmith would tell me, that's a little Pollyanna, isn't it, preacher? It's a little Pollyanna. You're just trying to tell us that we're just supposed to let the weeds grow up alongside the wheat. We're just not supposed to do anything about anybody that might be doing something that's dangerous or hurtful. Is that what you're saying? Because if that's what you're saying, Pastor, that's just downright dangerous. Well, that's not what I'm saying, and that's not what the parable is saying. Listen to what the parable says. The parable says that in the kingdom of God, the weeds and the wheat must live right next to each other, right alongside one another. They must live in community. And if you're going to live in community, then you must have honesty. Which means this. And here's the deal. If any of you ever see me doing something that's hurting me or my marriage, or my family, or my church, or my relationship with God, I expect that you will pull me aside and you will tell me. And here's the deal. I promise to the best of my ability to do the same thing for you. That's what community looks like. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. That's what it looks like when the weeds and the wheat live with each other, because some days I'm going to be weed, and some days I'm going to be wheat, and other days you're going to be the wheat, and other days you're going to be the weed. And if we live next to each other, perhaps when it's all said and done, God will welcome us into that new kingdom. So what's it like? It's like this man who took great pride in his lawn, and one day he went out to his lawn, and what did he find? He found a dandelion. So he uprooted the dandelion. He went out there the next day, and what did he find? Two dandelions. So he pulled up the two dandelions. What he came out there the next day, and what did he find? He found those two dandelions and all the brothers and sisters' dandelions. So he pulled them up again. The next day he came out, and there was a family reunion of dandelions happening right there on his front lawn. He tried everything he could do to get rid of those dandelions. He pulled them up. He tried to spray them. He tried to poison them. He did everything that he could to get rid of those dandelions. So finally, one day he'd had it. He wrote a letter to the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C., enumerating everything that he had done to try to get rid of the dandelions, and he ended it with with this question, what am I supposed to do about the weeds? He waited for the reply. It came. He opened it. All it said was, we suggest you learn to love them.